Okay, so our first reading today is from Genesis, the first book of the Bible. So at the beginning, easy to find. And it's chapter 3. So Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat it, of it your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate it. Then both of them, of their eyes, were opened, and they realised they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree, and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel."
The second reading comes from 1 John chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 and 7, and can be found on page 1226 of the Church Bible. "But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or know him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work."
Welcome to church on Christmas Eve. Great to see you. My name's Robbie, if we haven't met before, one of the ministers here. Sort of goes without saying, I'll say it anyways, but bringing kids into the world's a big deal, isn't it? It's a big deal. I know that because recently that happened to me. Augustine Gabriel, he's now on the scene. We love that. We love that. I've got a couple of photos to show you. Here's one beautiful one. I've got the mic. I've got the slideshow. We're just going to keep going. Yeah. Oh, that's cute. That's beautiful. Oh, it's so beautiful. There's more. Yes, there's lots. There's more. I've got plenty. I've got lots of photos. I've got heaps of photos to show you of my new son. All that means is we're thinking about what it means to bring a child into the world right now. What's it mean to raise a child? Well, first thing it means is, it's a joy. It's a huge joy to bring a child into the world. But more and more so, people are choosing not to have kids on principle. On principle, not choosing to have kids. Now, why might that be? Generally, it's because people don't want to bring up kids into a dark and dangerous and deadly world such as our own one. Now, I'd be lying if I said that thought had not crossed my mind, because it does cross my mind, or has crossed my mind. People, myself included, we live in fear at times because of uncertainty of the future. We also struggle with a lack of hope at times because we see things that rob us of hope. And more so as we see more and more of the world. So I get the problem. The solution, not having kids, I'm not so keen on. Don't quite understand that one. Now, why this talk of childbirth? No surprise, it's Christmas Eve, and soon we will be celebrating the birth of a child, the birth of the Son of God who enters into our world, as the first artwork says. We're celebrating the light in a dark place, as the other one says, the arrival of hope. And that's what we're looking at today, Christmas Eve. The expectation, as Bob said, the expectation of the arrival. We're going to be thinking about the darkness of the world first, and then we're going to think about the darkness dispelled, the one that comes, enters into the world, the light of the world that dispels the darkness, King Jesus, the King of Kings. So before we get to the good stuff, King of Kings. The art team have done such a good job. Before we get to the good stuff, darkness dispelled, we've got to go through the rough stuff, which is the darkness in the world. Now, why is the world the way that it is? I bet you've had conversations with your family, with your friends, with your work colleagues, with your school friends, whatever it might be, with your neighbours, and you've always, whenever you talk about this subject, as many conversations and as many people as you ask, you get as many different answers to the question, why the world is the way that it is, the darkness in the world. So people will say it is because of power, people in power. People will say it is because of money, or it's because of the government, or it's because of religion, or it's upbringing, or it's circumstance. Better yet, it's all of them combined. What's the Bible say? Well, we read from Genesis chapter 3. Jody read Genesis chapter 3 for us. And it gives us a different answer. It says the devil tempted people and we fell for the lie and we found ourselves alienated from God in the darkness, as it were. In a spiritual battle, in the dark, on the wrong side, fighting God. The devil lied, we believed him, and that means every person is now walking around in moral and spiritual darkness. That's the problem. And that means the problem is in each of us, each person. The problem isn't outside, it isn't other things, it's inside of each of us. Tempted by the devil, believing a lie, and falling into sin. What Christmas reminds us of is that the solution to the problems of the world are not within us. They are not within us. The problems of the world come from within us. Not easy to come to grips with. We shouldn't be naive, though. We should face that. We shouldn't be naive. It is worth fighting our pride on this matter. It will serve us well to do so. However, I think most of us know this to be true, that we are within us. Within each and every one of us, the darkness of the world lies. But a number of us will actually particularly feel that at Christmas time. We might think other people are celebrating, other people are having fun with their family, with their friends, and doing all these sorts of things, while we ourselves, we're struggling with broken relationships or strained relationships, hardships, the loss of people, or any number of things like that. And often these strained relationships are the result of dark deeds. Well, that's not just you, that's most people, more or less. Now, if we're recognising that, we're not naive, we're looking for hope. We're looking for hope. Exactly what Christmas is about. It is the Lord Jesus who came for the sick. He didn't come for the well. He came for the poor in spirit. He doesn't come for those who are satisfied with everything the world can give and put under a tree. He comes for those poor in spirit. That means he comes for you, he comes for me, he comes to a dark world. Today's first point is the darkness of the world. The second point is that he has come to dispel the darkness. Darkness dispelled. Without getting into the historic details too much, tomorrow, 25th of December, Christmas Day, it's actually a repurposed Roman festival. So in the northern hemisphere, it would be the winter solstice around about now, which is the longest night of the year. And it was appropriate that in the longest night of the year, the light would come, and that the nights would get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter, and the days would get longer and longer and longer and longer. That's what it represents. Earlier I said we struggle to pinpoint what the problem is. That also means that we struggle to give the right answers. We don't know what the problem is. That means we don't know what the answer is. We might say the problem's money, well then we should burn all the money. We might say the problem is power, well then we should get rid of all power. We might say the problem is religion, well we should get rid of all religion. That went really well earlier this century. The problem is upbringing. Well, then we just need to be better parents, don't we? It's as easy as that. You just need to do a better job. You just got to make it all work. But it's hard to make it all work because the government do such a bad job. So you should be in charge. Except that's the problem. We put ourselves in charge. We put ourselves in charge. And it just keeps going. The Bible says we're the problem. We're the ones that cause the trouble in our lives and those around us. The solution isn't in us. The solution comes from outside of us. And that's the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of Christmas. It is that God comes to us to help us and to save us. And ever since the problem began in Genesis chapter 3, God knew, had planned for this. He said, your offspring, Eve, will crush the serpent's head. Will crush the serpent's head. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. It has happened, says John. Jesus has come to dispel the darkness, to get rid of it, to take people out of the darkness and bring them to the light, to bring them to God, to bring them back into God's ways, into God's will. He's come to free us and to save us. That's Christmas. It's something you can't do. It's something he does for you. That's his gift. That's his free gift. We give gifts expecting them back. He gives gifts out of love. That's his love. He's born to save you. He dies to save you. And Christmas is a reminder of our deepest need, that we need saving and that he's done it. If you're like me, you will forget what Christmas is about very soon because other things will happen. Mostly family things will happen. You'll forget Christmas very soon. Or what it's really about. But it is good to be here today and to be reminded and encouraged about what Christmas really is about and who it is about. It is about the Son of God. It is about Emmanuel, God with us. It is about the light of the world. It's about the King of Kings and so much more. As we finish, let me read these words from Isaiah chapter 60. They were written in expectation of the one to come. Isaiah 60 verses 1 to 2. Arise, shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you and his glory appears over you. Amen.